case under advisement and proceed to the last case of this morning, Lynn against Ashcroft. I hear from Mr. Greenberg. Oh, go ahead, yeah.
Good morning. My name is Steve Greenberg. I'm here on behalf of Ms. Lynn. This is an immigration situation where she has applied for asylum on the basis of both past persecution and fear of future persecution. The immigration judge denied her that relief, and essentially what he said was that he didn't believe her because there was no independent corroboration or evidence of her claims that she could offer. In this particular situation, the independent corroboration of her claims is found in the government's own documents. Ms. Lin is a young lady who was subjected to the Chinese family planning policies and restrictions, came here while she was pregnant with her second child, and very credibly testified under both direct and cross-examination that she was afraid that she was going to be subjected to a forced sterilization and a forced abortion if she was returned to China. And she testified how she had previously been taken from the family home and under force by the population control police, or whatever they call them, and taken, drugged, and given a forced abortion. How she had on four prior occasions had intrauterine devices inserted in her by the government. How she had to go every 3 months to verify that she had not gotten pregnant. And this is a family planning policy, as they call it, and a pattern of behavior that in fact is in the documents that were tendered at the hearing by the government, the country profile.
Could I ask you whether, though, this policy, or let me put it this way, the extent to which the record shows how this policy is implemented around the country, because it was my impression that there was some evidence in the record, although the immigration judge doesn't say anything about it, indicating that in Wenzhou, it may not be so rigorously applied.
That it may not be so rigorously applied is what it says, but it doesn't say that it's not applied. And you know, we have to look at these things. We're dealing with China. We're not dealing with exactly the home of a free flow of information. We're dealing with a society that I think every time it comes up for fair trade and so forth, there's a big debate as to, is this a country that really follows human rights? Is this a country that does the right thing? And we have to look at it against the common sense of what we know about China. And that's the same thing about her lack of documentation. We're talking about coercive policies. I'm sure they don't keep a record that she could readily obtain that says that I was dragged out in the middle of the night and forced to have these policies put upon me.
So you would distinguish, in some other cases, people have produced hospital records that abortions were performed. But do you think the distinction is elective abortions versus forced abortions? Or what? Why couldn't she have somehow or another gotten the family members staying behind in China to furnish such records for her?
Well, one, I don't know that those records even would exist because, again, we're talking about middle of the night coming in the house, dragging her away by force and drugging her and then performing these procedures. But even more troubling, or another reason why you couldn't get those records, is because her husband has lost his job as a result of the second pregnancy, which they were aware of. We're dealing with a place where you're not going to walk in the hospital and say, I need these records because my sister or my wife or my family member is in the U.S. and wants to apply for asylum and never come back to China.
Is your husband a fugitive at the moment? I'm trying to remember where the husband is.
The husband is in hiding in China at the time of the hearing. He lost his job when they learned that he had in fact gotten his wife pregnant again. That was one of the sanctions. And I think the fact that they did that lends credence to the claim that they would do other things. They clearly take action when these things happen. They clearly are persecuting these people. And the issue isn't whether it's a valid policy or they have good reasons for doing it or they have too many people in China. The issue is whether she has a reasonable fear of either past persecution or future persecution. And the only reason given by the immigration judge is she couldn't document that she had these abortions. But in fact, I think it's documentation that would have been impossible at that point. I think the fact, the circumstances under which she left China, her testimony about past history and so forth, almost self-authenticates her claims.
I don't know what the big problem here for you, though, is her statements upon entry were primarily expressing a motivation, an economic motivation.
Well, there were a number of statements made upon entry. Initially, she does say, because I am pregnant and I have a child and I want to provide for that child. But she also goes on in a second interview to tell them that, in fact, she would be sterilized if she were to return to China, and she could not return to China, and that she has been subject to forced abortion. And as I understand the procedure, after the initial statements and entry, she then saw an asylum officer, and although that independent interview wasn't put in the record, and I think that was in the possession of the Immigration Service, so it would have been up to them to put it in the record. But that officer, after interviewing her, found that she had at least made a colorable claim of a reason for asylum. In other words, at the time of her entry, she does have a discussion with someone from Immigration who decides we're not going to put her on a plane and send her back right away. We're going to allow her to go through this process because she's made this claim of asylum, and I think there's some merit to that claim.
I thought, was it in the original interview where she's first asked about the purpose of her trip to the United States, and she says the economy's bad, she's 7 months pregnant, and then they say, why did you leave your home country? And she says, because in China, one-child policy, I cannot have two children.
Which
interview is that?
That's during one of the first two interviews, and I can refer you to page 299 of the record, where she says that if she's returned to her country, she does have these fears. In China, they have the one-child policy. I cannot have two children. It is against the law. That's during the initial interview at the Los Angeles airport on May 3rd, 1999.
She does say that, actually, right away.
Yes, she does mention it. I don't know if it's the first thing. And again, we have to look at, I suspect, I wasn't there, none of us were there, but I suspect that when she got off the plane and she went through immigration and they determined that she wasn't here rightfully, that it was not, let's go over to the Starbucks and chat for a while at the airport Starbucks about what's going on and why you're here, that it was something more intrusive and more coercive than that, and that she was fearful, nervous. She obviously had paid a smuggler to get into this country.
Was this one of the times that they were using the wrong dialect of Chinese to speak with her?
No, that wasn't. That was
later
when she
on.
Had the attorney who just I know it's not here, but in a side, has since been suspended and is being indicted, actually, for some stuff he did in New York. That was Mr. Wilson and Mr. Mano's firm.
Okay, well, if you want to save some time for rebuttal, okay. Maybe that would be
sure.
A good
thank
idea.
You.
All right, thank you. Ms. Piccotti. Piccotti? Okay.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Carolyn Piccotti, and I represent the government in this case. As you know, this is an immigration case where the petitioner is seeking to overturn the immigration judge's ruling, finding that she had not met her burden of proof to establish eligibility either for asylum or withholding of removal. And the reason why the immigration judge made that ruling is because he made an adverse credibility ruling.
And did he make any reference to the country reports?
Yes, he did.
He talked to the information that supported her claim.
He discusses the documentary evidence as a whole, but he never
specifically. Yeah. What I'm talking about is specifically explaining why he doesn't rely on the country report that supports her. And I know there's some things that don't support her in the country report, but I mean specifically referring to the country report, which backs her up on several points.
Well, because that's one of the factors that he used in finding that she was not credible. There were other factors. There were the statements that she made upon her interview at the secondary inspection when she came into LAX without documents. And there was also her actions that she took after she had her second child here. She
right.
sent the child
well,
back
I'm
to China.
So why is that?
Now.
I find that, just to get back to country reports in a minute, but I find his statement sending the child back astonishing, actually, since the reason she came to the United States was so that the child would be born alive and not aborted, and then to turn around and send the child back to her family almost suggests that she really doesn't have any of the impermissible motives of, you know, just sort of having a cushy life for herself and the child in the United States. She sends the child back to China. She needs to earn the money to pay the smuggler. For all we know, she was planning on going back to China after she did that. I thought that was a very surprising statement on the IJ's part. But also, as Judge Williams, I see so little discussion of the content of the country report, of the fact that Congress has actually gone out of its way to amend the statute to address this exact problem. And he doesn't pay any attention to the fact that she initially, very quickly, mentioned this policy. It's just a very incomplete explanation for his decision.
I think the immigration judge's determination was based on three essential factors. Number one, she stated that when she first came into the country, she stated to the airport immigration officials at secondary inspection, which is routine. I don't know if you're aware of, if the court is aware of how the process goes.
We see millions of these cases.
Okay.
Yes.
I won't get into it then. She stated, when asked why she came here, she said, I'm 7 months pregnant, I need to provide for my child, I have to find a job.
Right, and 2 seconds later, she says, why aren't you be there? She's asked, why aren't you going back? And she says, which he does not acknowledge, one child policy, you know, I can't go back.
It is against the law to have more than one child.
Right, right. And so why doesn't he confront that statement, put it into the equation, explain to us why that statement doesn't modify the earlier statement, and give us some sense that he's really looked at both sides of the equation?
Well, the immigration judge's decision speaks to the entire evidence as...
No, only the evidence against her is all he's talking about.
Well, he took into consideration her testimony and the fact that she sent the child back to China. He found that to be somewhat disturbing because she testified during the hearing that she came here to provide a better life for her child, to have better education opportunities, to have better medical care. And she then, when she was questioned by her own counsel, she admitted that having an overbirth child in China would result in fines and inability to register the child in the household registry and a lesser quality of medical care because of the fact that she had this child without permission. But it's important to focus on the fact that the documentary evidence in the State Department reports indicates that in Zhejiang province, where whence petitioner comes, it's routinely the one-child policy is very unevenly applied.
But you know what? There's not a word in the immigration judge's opinion about the detail that you are now mentioning. I saw that too in the report. But A, I don't know what uneven means, and it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen to some people. She testified that it did happen to her. B, I have no idea what the immigration judge thought that it meant. I don't even know if he knew that fact. You know, not everybody reads every word put in front of them. For all I know, he was unaware.
Well, the standard is that unless the evidence compels a contrary result, then the Court of Appeals must affirm the agency's determination on these.
Well, just tell us where he even thought about the country report or read it. Where is there a reference in his opinion? There's no specific reference.
No, there isn't a specific reference.
And that's a problem, I think. A big problem.
He
just lump it into everything else, especially in the context and the backdrop of this type of claim, when we do have the statutes that Congress authorized relating specifically to this problem. I mean, I understand there may be some instances where you wouldn't refer to the country report. I can't imagine many that would happen. But in this situation, I think it cries out for some discussion
I believe when the, well, this is an oral decision, and so the after the conclusion of the testimony, the immigration judge makes the ruling right from the bench, and so they generally tend to just say, I've reviewed all the documentary evidence, which will...
Right,
but you know, that's your problem, because
yeah.
he gives this oral decision, then you get this affirm without opinion
right.
rubber stamp from the BIA, which gives us absolutely no information. That sends us back to the oral opinion. If the board wants a reviewable opinion, it could write one. But it didn't. It chose not to. We've said that's okay. They don't have to, but you have to live with what the IJ said.
Right. Yes, it's the IJ's ruling that is on review. But the bottom line of this case is that it was reasonable for the immigration judge to expect some form of documentary corroborating evidence.
Of illegal behaviors on the part of people? I mean, that's the thing. Some things I can certainly see are corroboratable. Did you graduate from this university or not, you know, what have you? Police don't often admit to sneaking into somebody's house and dragging them off in the middle of the night.
Your Honor, that's correct. However, she did testify that she had at least three private doctors. She paid them to have the IUD removed.
Illegally. Do you think they're going to risk their right to practice medicine in China for admitting to illegal removals of IUDs? I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised if a doctor here in the United States who performed a third trimester abortion wanted to go around giving affidavits about it if it was inconsistent with the law in the state
there
where that
also,
doctor was.
Your Honor, there's also her family members. I mean, she testified that she moved to her brother the first time this incident occurred, and a group of family planning officials came to her house and stated that they forcibly removed her to a hospital to have an abortion. She could have submitted an affidavit from them, a statement, a letter from them, from her husband saying, my wife was pregnant four times, from her brother saying, on such and such a date, you know, my sister was dragged from the house. We don't know any of that. All of that information could have been made available. It was reasonable for the immigration judge to expect some kind of corroborative documentary evidence in light of the fact that the background evidence and these statements that she made at the airport and her behavior in sending the child back to China, despite her avowed testimony that she wanted to provide for better education opportunities and medical care for her child, all of that was reasonable for the immigration judge to expect some kind of corroborative evidence. Having failed to supply that, it was reasonable for the immigration judge to find that she had not met her burden of proof to establish eligibility for asylum or withholding.
Okay.
And if there's no other questions, then the government would rest on its brief, and we would feel that the court is compelled to deny the petition for review on the basis of the evidence, the brief, and the evidence of record.
Just mm-hmm. sort of a comment, since
mm-hmm.
you deal with the immigration judges all the time.
Yes, we do.
Making a record is very important, especially in these days when we don't have the review we used to have.
If I may say, from this vantage point, we have those discussions all the time with them. Given the fact that under the streamlining regulation now, the board, if the result is correct, but the reasoning might have been different, they will summarily affirm it. And so we've stressed the fact that the immigration judge's rulings have to be very, very comprehensive.
Let me ask you before you
sure.
sit down. I know we have immigration judges that have thousands of these cases.
Mm-hmm.
Is there consistency? Is this case, if somebody came into Los Angeles, they could have come into some other place. Two different IJs could hear the same case.
And draw different conclusions? Well, hopefully on the basis of with the record that they are consistent, I'd like to say that they are, you know, given the nature of the discrepancies and inconsistencies on this record that's before this court, that the rulings would be the same. I mean, obviously, you know, different panels of different courts of appeal arrive at different conclusions with the same record. So I can't state absolutely that that ruling is always going to be the same. But I would like to think that on the basis of this record that's before this court, this ruling would have been the same no matter what jurisdiction it would have been tried in. And
well, of course, we wouldn't hear the case if the IJ and the Board of Immigration Appeals had gone the other way.
Sure. If there's nothing further, I thank the court and we look forward to your ruling.
Thank you very much. Mr. Greenberg, 2 minutes.
just a couple of short things. I don't think this judge did read those reports, and one of the reasons I don't think he read the materials before rendering his decision in any length is because he makes a critical mistake, and it's on page 110 of the record. He indicates at that point that she never said family planning reasons until after she had hired an attorney and spoken with an attorney, and that's incorrect, as we already discussed. That was something that was brought up initially at the airport. There was also some discussion when counsel was up here about the fact that she sent this other child back to China. She did not send the other child back to China, or this child, after it was born, I'm sorry, back to China to live permanently. She said she sent the child back to live with the family, to meet the family. And let's remember something very important about that child. That child's a U.S. citizen now. So what is going to happen to that child in China, I suspect, even if it's going to be something negative, is not going to be anything like what would happen to that child if that were a Chinese citizen. And if it did, the fact that that child was born in the United States would cause us probably to try and protect that child. We have a lady here, we have no contrary evidence.
And there's and of course the IJ doesn't say anything about that either.
Right, that's correct.
This is not in the record, but just curious, how does the child get back to China?
I do not know how the child
didn't
got
the cousin take it back
to China. A friend took the child back. That is correct. Sure. I can say the one thing I was told never say in front of any judges, which is, it's not my case. I actually got asked to help out last week on it, so I don't know every little detail. Judge Williams knows I do criminal defense work, and make, I go on and on usually, so you would have a much bigger record if I had done the case. But I do believe that if she remains here, the child is going to return. Now, I have not spoken to her, but that did come from Mr. Bloom, who was the attorney.
All
anything
right.
else?
No, thank you very much. The case will be taken under advisement. Thank you to
thank you.
Both counsel. And the court will be in recess until tomorrow morning.